I mean, like, oh, sorry.
You really see it as a drawing tool.
Yeah. I record all my critiques.
Oh, you do?
Taking notes, yeah.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, I'll never release it or anything. Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever see it. Like, these specifically, like they're best viewed on a computer, you know? And the only way the projectors generally are made out of millions of tiny mirrors for each pixel. And you'll get, like, a grid if you look at a projector up close. Whereas
right.
With a slide,
not always, though. There's two kinds.
Yeah, there's a DLP and then there's another kind. And I don't think we have the other kind here.
Right.
So, and I don't have the other kind at home, so I'm going to have to use the slides.
Mm-hmm.
And, but no, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, and I like this idea of taking something and regenerating it. I also wonder, like, would you be interested in then drawing on the slide? Too.
Yeah, it was actually one of my first interests was to actually do slides, like
mm-hmm.
paint small on the slides,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not really as interested in that now.
But I mean paint or draw on the image that's already being, you know,
yeah, after
made.
This is on the slide.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
I mean, maybe, but I'm not really interested in that right now. Originally, I was going to take photographs and like collage little slides
mm-hmm.
together and make my own slides.
So do you like this idea that these can be mechanically made? I mean, is that more...
I don't really care.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's just like the same thing as drawing with paper.
Uh-huh.
It's
okay.
Not a...
Not an issue.
No, it's not
Well,
except
the results that you get are so drastically different. I mean, I look at this and then I look at that and it's not... you know, there's a completely different language.
Yeah.
So I'm also wondering about how diverse they could be.
Yeah.
Be
mm-hmm.
and if there could yet be another layer of
mm-hmm.
complexity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a different tool,
mm-hmm.
so it'll definitely come out differently.
But does it? You know, even within each one, they are. There's a variety of different things happening. You know, in terms of
mm-hmm.
Gradation and values. So I'm just wondering, like, if that's something you're interested in, would it be possible to then maximize that even more?
You mean with other media?
Perhaps. You know, I don't know. You know, it's like what happens, let's say, when these come into a slide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way of then masking out part of that or adding on to part of that or puncturing something? So
yeah, I'm sure there is. I wouldn't, I think if I had a problem with the image, then maybe I could fix it.
Well, it's also possible that maybe what you're interested in is the single integrity of the form.
That's sort of true, too.
You know, I
think that's the best truth.
Mm.
I think of myself more like an image maker. So, like, once these are finished, they're kind of like, I don't really need to change them, you know, because I have so much capability on here.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at it on the projector and I'm like, these aren't right, maybe I should do something, like, to make the image better, then maybe I could. But
what's this image of?
Oh, it's a pony.
Whose pony?
It's a pony near my school in Florida. It's actually, there are two ponies and they live next to Walmart.
Really?
Yeah.
And whose ponies are they? Are they raising them for anything? Or?
They're called artist ponies. It's like sort of like a family who owns them. It's like a nice place. I wish I had a better photo of like the area, but I don't right now.
And why are they called artist ponies?
It just says that on the sign. It's like the artist pony. And there's like nice little signs around there. It's just like a weird sort of like a folk situation. You know?
Huh.
It's like a family who has two ponies and like you can go up and like pet the ponies.
And why did you photograph them? Dominique?
Oh, I had the opportunity one day of taking out a full frame camera.
Uh-huh.
Like with a digital back, like a $20,000 camera. And I've always been interested in that pony. So.
But, you know, the reason why I ask is, you know, we're talking a little bit about shifting context and whether things, you know, are like a one medium thing, you know, like these drawings begin on the computer and they begin and end on the computer. And, you know, in him saying that, you know, this... The integrity of that form was kind of important.
You're using the past tense.
Is important.
Is important?
I don't know.
Because when we see, you know, your works, I mean, you're quite experimental,
mm-hmm.
and you keep modifying you know.
Yeah, I cut things up.
And you hybridize very easily, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't see quite the truth value of that.
That's what he said.
Well, I mean, the integrity in the end, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, in process, like, I mean, once it's how I want it, it's how I want it. But sometimes I can change my mind.
Right. I mean, you're extremely flexible in terms of your starting off points, and in terms of the materials that you're using, or that the materials that you've used before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see you drawing all the time. You draw on paper, and those are starting off points in your notebooks. They're extremely productive. Here's evidence, and here's another, you know, means of production here, and it's by no means.
Maybe just recapping that, you know, we were talking about these drawings, and I was asking if these would ever, let's say, end up on paper and then be redrawn, or if they would ever, you know, because he was talking about projecting, like making these into slides and then projecting them for the show, and I was asking if there was the potential for another, let's say, interruption of this thing. Like, does it get projected on a blank wall, or does it get projected on a drawing, or does it get projected, does the slide itself get altered as another drawing? And he was saying that, in fact, the thing itself is complete, that its process is, it's complete as an entity. And maybe it might not be, but if that were to happen, then it would be the need of the drawing that he's actually able to do quite a lot of.
Right. It's a hard question to answer, you know, because once they become slides, it's something completely different. But my ultimate goal of these is keeping them digital, you know, to put on a website or like, display on a monitor. So the slide format is really just a way to the cheapest way to project them, as if it was digital.
Right.
But they will be slides, so you know, I could do lots of things.
But I also, I then shifted to this horse, the pony. Right. And right.
It's a miniature pony, you see, right?
Yeah, and I'm really fascinated with this photograph.
Well, for different reasons. One is it's the only photograph in this space. Right?
Yeah.
In terms of an entity, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, it has this peculiar subject matter.
Right. Has he ever described this pony to you?
No.
Has it been up?
I don't recall it from.
it was in my stack. I figured.
Okay, but now it's up on the wall.
Might as well look at it. And now it becomes like a trigger for
right,
us.
Right, exactly.
And obviously for you, right?
Yeah.
What is a trigger?
I guess just mainly the expression and the emotion that the photograph has. It's sort of like a role model.
It's a role model. It's a role model. And
what kind of? I mean, forgive me. What kind of role model?
I'd like to be the artist pony, I guess.
I'd be the artist pony.
Yeah. And it's also like the pony staring directly at you. I took the photograph from the highway, and so it was like a nice experience. And the pony was actually eating, you know, these three oranges that create a triangle. The pony was eating off an orange tree. Mm. And the pony, like, I said, hey, pony, and he looked up right at me.
You know what I'd like to see from you? Something I haven't yet seen. And it's just maybe a challenge or a recommendation. Is for you to work with an image.
Mm-hmm.
Let's imagine, for the sake of the conversation, because we're focusing on the horse image, the horse photo. For you to work with one image, either the image itself or what the image triggers for you.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now, actually. I'm starting a character called Scrappy the Dog. And actually, when I show you
Because it's something that I haven't seen yet. And for you to work on one themata, working it out you know, consistently, with all of the variations, it's something that would be good, right?
And another, when I show you the colors of these in a few minutes, I really want to show you the color versions. Because the color versions of the computer drawings are actually what I've been working on for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. I haven't been doing really any drawing, mainly just on the computer, pretty much 8 hours a day. And like I work on one image. So I've actually worked on the color computer drawings more than I ever have on a real painting.
And so the theme is, what do you call it?
This is a Scrappy the Dog.
Scrappy.
I'm working on the character, and I decided that for the character of Scrappy, Scrappy's never drawn the same way.
Scrappy's never
it's like if, for an illustrative example, if Mickey Mouse and every logo was drawn differently, in a way Mickey Mouse was only a description, you would say a mouse with black ears and he's always happy, and then and like whoever drew him would draw him differently every time.
So define Scrappy, because he has a personality.
Yeah, well, I'm still figuring it out. I've only really figured out the point of the fact, I guess the idea that he's always drawn differently. And right now, I'm doing these different drawings to help formulate his personality. And I feel, you know, as I do like 30 more Scrappies, then I'll know who Scrappy is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually,
that seems kind of counterintuitive, though, a little bit to what you described, though, because then if you know what Scrappy is by that point, then...
I know who his character is, but I won't really know. I mean, I know he'll be drawn differently every time. So, for example, these drawings are trying to figure out, like, everything about Scrappy, you know? And in the future, once I know who Scrappy is, I can draw him in different ways. That will be... that will represent what these drawings are trying to get at, you know.
Okay, but now, can you describe the nature, the character, and the quality of Scrappy, not as a, not within the context of a personality, probably more...
A metaphor.
Yeah, but more on a metaphoric level.
Well, I chose dogs, you know.
Well, I want to go back to the horse.
Yeah,
so.
Because that's
yeah.
A certain point. Because then
yeah,
you're
yeah,
there.
That's clear.
So,
yeah.
No, I was going to say that the horse, you know, for me, I come to this thing and I immediately thought, oh, is that your horse, you know, on some farm or something. And then I looked at it again and I thought, actually, it was sort of kitschy and ironic. Like, there's... something, the scale of the pony is
right.
Really odd. And
it has a Diane Arbus quality
yeah.
As well. In a strange way. Right?
Yeah, like so it's posed,
it,
but,
right?
But then there's this other one that didn't quite make it to the foreground.
Right.
And, but also, it's not quite, it doesn't feel like they're out playing in the field. They're conscious of civilization.
Right.
And so... So there's this awareness of one's context that seems really odd. And
yeah, that's
I think
really true, because they're living next to Walmart on the highway,
right.
Fenced in, so they really know cars and like people.
And your interest in the whole thing has to do with the juxtaposition between
yeah.
These horses and the fact that they live next to Walmart. If they had been out in a beautiful pastoral setting, you might not have found it so odd.
That's right.
Right?
Or noteworthy.
Yeah.
If you're making note of something, an incompatibility of something.
And it is, in fact, noteworthy because they are the only horses in that.
Very good. And you are finding a metaphoric structure that corresponds to what you feel is an actuality, a lived reality for you as being, as an artist, right? Where you're dealing with incompatibilities always, right?
Yeah.
Inconsistencies and incompatibilities. Things that, aspects that mark you, right? Like when we talk about the child, man thing, right? Embodied, right? Boy, man.
You have a little time.
Right? Always
either more.
Right? Right. And so you have this persona, this mindset, and this persona that you're investigating, resolving, evaluating, and living through, right? Which is why. Back to the horse.
Pony.
Your pony, which is a type of horse for us. Again, and again, we go into detail. It's a horse, but no, it's a type of horse, it's a pony. And within the pony, it's a white pony, and they look at miniature ponies. I may be wrong.
They're small.
Okay, they're small.
Yeah.
And it's, so again, so we go into specifics. And, you know, they look a particular way, and guess where they originally found them? The source is next to a Walmart. And so it's not horse per se, it's not nature per se, it's not culture per se, but it's a combination, right, of these various factors that initiate certainly our conversation.
And also I purposely, I should mention, you know, I purposely cut it all out.
What do you mean?
like I cut out the highway, I cut out the
right, and the Walmart. And
yeah.
But I this context of it and the fact you did cut out the Walmart, but it's right there seething at the edge because I knew immediately that something was wrong.
Yeah, you can almost tell.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So the context of Scrappy. Right. Is I mean, I think that your project sounds really interesting, but I think for it to even be initiated with the fullest, you know, it's sort of like you set yourself up with a project, and for it to be initiated with the fullest potential, why not imagine what the context of Scrappy is?
Oh, he's a cartoon character.
No, but his environment.
I know, it's for a film I'm working on. Scrappy's going to be on the television within the film.
Okay.
So, and I haven't figured out his environment yet, but.
But
it's another level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
it's not even so much what he will be used for, although that's really interesting. But you know, let me say it this way. Okay. There's a Fellini film that you can probably tell me which one it is, but where suddenly you know you're engrossed in this film and it's incredibly like hyper real and it's so over the top, and then all of a sudden the camera pans back and you see that in fact this whole like believable thing that you were looking at, you know, for the last hour and a half is now like a set. You know, you knew that all along anyway because you were watching a film and you didn't believe it was right. But
yeah, like the end of Holy Mountain.
Right. Okay. So, but the thing is that in this situation here, I'm, you know, and here it feels like again right at the perimeter of this poor pony. there's the environment is like coming in.
Yeah.
We can't keep it out. It's like, you know, you were barely able to make that frame.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm not sure that same level of, like, cultural context is what I would say.
That's
is exactly, I don't know that you can build on it.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something that even would inform the early initiative stages of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You're correct to bring in the cultural context, because to say that you're going to be putting Scrappy in a film still is beside the point that we're trying to get at for you, which is, well, what is the context of the film? You see what I'm saying? And you'll say, well, the film is, and you'll give us a context for that.
Yeah.
We're trying to say, what is the ideational context of the whole desire to use Scrappy as Scrappy within the film, within the relationship with that film, to other films. We're trying to open this up for you in a way that you've actually opened this subject matter up in a way that you're not seemingly either that you haven't for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, eventually I'll come to that important context and I have to work through it. But I say, skip all of this and go into this because there's almost like a ready-made.
It's a conflict.
That's right.
This is a ready-made conflict between this thing and its environment. And again, it's not 100% evident in the photo, but it's like it's coming in at the seams. And the fact that you know that, you probably, again, would not have been interested in photographing this thing had that not been the case. So that context, that cultural context, is absolutely critical.
And it bears down on you. And the fact that it's bearing down on you is not arbitrary. In other words, this seems arbitrary to me. In a way, everything is arbitrary, and in a way, nothing is arbitrary.
But that is pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, and this, of course, has a quotient of arbitrariness because you haven't defined this, and you took the right image, you were there at the right time, and all of this. And yet, the fact is that you're sending signals to you, and obviously, it visits you. This is something that that used to be hidden in here, and you extracted it, and you said, this now is the trigger, is a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
It is manifestly critical or important, more so than I had imagined before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting it in a hierarchy of ideational exchange. You say, this is, I need to remember.
So what's an example of, or what would be, what would be an example of Scrappy in a tense cultural contextual
conflict. I'll tell you exactly. When we deal with the image of the hedgehog, when we deal with the image of the dog, immediately what comes into mind is the, and it's the analogies with this, is the context of domesticated, feral, domesticated, feral, and wild. In other words, domesticated
right.
versus non-domesticated, and the idea of nature and culture, sort of.
Also mixed breed,
and mixed breeds,
you know,
how
valuable and
right.
whose its owner is,
absolutely.
And how well it's cared for.
These are key things that may become part and parcel of the animated fun thing, but could actually inform where you take that fun animated cartoon.
Yeah, that's thing. Why I chose a dog, mostly because of the mess and sort of the naive qualities of the dog.
That's right. As opposed to right, because there's that utopic, you know, man's best friend type thing, mm-hmm. and you're presumably going to investigate, you know, that cliche. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And fair and accurate. The point I guess that we're making is that this is, of course, fine. It's all fine, but we're bearing down on, you know, the horse situation. We're asking whether or not this might be a quicker entry point into some point of consciousness.
Well, I think photography is definitely at all times going to be like a quicker entry point. You know, it's like so fast, and you always have a context. Like,
well, but it has downside too.
Yeah, of course.
Which is that, you know, in a way, some of the complexity in the drawing that you're able to get. You know, in some of these, you know, pieces that you made on the computer are more, they have more variety in their vastness than this
right.
photograph
right.
does. So there's a level of, you know, real, like, visual engagement that this kind of humdrum thing does not have at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it still doesn't, it doesn't have to be one or the other, either.
Right.
You know, the idea of, the reason why I asked Dominique to, you know, to tell us about, you know, the context of Scrappy is because I think that the vision of that, just the range in the short time that he rattled off is so interesting. You know, what kind of image could I construct if the thing was not well trained?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of thing could I construct if the thing was, rabid or
right,
you know
or elderly,
like,
or
yeah
mm-hmm.
and maybe the image would be the same, maybe it'd still appear the same on the page just like this is framed on the page,
mm-hmm.
but it's the indication of what you would ask from that environment would be all the more complex,
mm-hmm.
and I think that would be kind of amazing. And you have the tools, you know, I think that the drawing, you know, just while we've been sitting here, all of the like kind of wonderful images that have been flashing by, you know, been amazing.
I mean, you certainly have the skill and the tools to create any type of structure, really.
I'd like to show you the rest of these.
Yeah.
Because this is what I've been focusing all my power on. Like, these are sort of just like humming.
So self-portrait always in the foreground?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Why couldn't Scrappy be scanned in even, and, you know?
There are some of these were actually drawings that were scanned in.
Mm-hmm.
The Scrappy thing, I'm working on a film because I have 2 years left of school in Florida, and so I'm slowly, like, on my, like, sort of time waiting in line for the bank. I'm sort of
mm-hmm.
beginning this, like, idea of making the film. But most of my daytime is spent on doing these.
What do you mean in line?
You know, like waiting for the train. Like that's when I.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm sort of like humming about Scrappy, like thinking, like, oh, maybe. So these are some of the earlier ones, and you'll see as we get towards the bottom, they're getting more complete. And I keep working on all of them. This one's in like sort of an in-between stage right now. It was complete, and now I'm starting to go back into it. But I like to focus on the more recent ones.
Have you seen that that show at the Japan Society?
Anime, manga,
yeah.
And anime.
Yeah.
I've seen this. This is something we've been mentioning, I think. right? Yeah, I'm on the show at the Jazz. I've never known of it. Mm-hmm. Before you leave.
What artists are showing it?
All Japanese anime, but the thing that's...
I look at Japanese anime all the time.
Yeah, like, this is a key historical show. You need to go. Right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You'll make a note of it before.
I mean, also, just the question of, I was thinking about anime and its relationship to kitsch and whether these things were, whether somebody who was actually making, sincerely making this work was thinking about the cultural context originally and, again, what we're saying about this. Do you know what I'm asking? Mm-hmm. So, like, this idea, if you're... let's say going about making an image and you are thinking about it as a form of kitsch, mm-hmm. then you are thinking about its initially, because you can't be just somebody going about making, one couldn't create kitsch without sort of understanding what the context is.
Yeah, I think I'm trying not to. For a time, a period of a few months, I was really interested in the irony and kitsch. Mm. And those 90s and 80s artists like Jeff Koons.
Right.
But, I'm really trying not to create kitsch on its own. Sort of trying to make a genuine...
Yeah. No, and I understood that, but mm-hmm. I think that the example was that I gave was about, and this... anime work was about the awareness of one's...
Yeah, did they know that they were...
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, they definitely didn't. Because they were
I'm
trying.
I'm not so sure.
It depends on, who's doing it now, Mm-hmm. Now anime sort of mm-hmm. references itself. But in the beginning, it seemed like it was largely intended to imitate cinema. This is one that was actually from a drawing.
Hmm. What part of it was the drawing? Was it
the whole drawing, actually?
Whole drawing was scanned in, and then
mm-hmm, the whole thing.
It was... Did you find there were any different results that way?
I'll show you the drawing. It was just a basic compositional drawing.
Oh, weird.
So, mm-hmm. So this I actually didn't just paint it right on top. Mm. These are very incomplete at the moment. Now I'm going to get into the ones I've been working on a lot lately. This is another self-portrait. So this is pretty much finished now. At the level that I want them to be.
And again, ideally, now they're files that you created this way, but ideally, mm-hmm. If you were, let's say having a show with these, in the case of this show, you're projecting it. Mm-hmm. As a slide, but ideally, what would you want to do?
Just put them on a website or a CD-ROM. Or make them big if I wanted them to be big for the show, depending on the space, where they're exhibited.
And could they be additionable? If, let's say, 20 people wanted this image, would that be something that... could they be like prints?
No, I don't think so. I mean, unless they were slides and someone could buy them. But as a digital file, can sort of be copied inevitably without anyone actually owning the information. So in a sense, with the digital file, everyone owns the information.
But are you working with that? Are you working... Understood. But in terms of instrumentality, are you bringing... fourth, that whole issue?
I'm not really concerned with it. I think about it, but I'm not really...
Could it become something to bear down on in terms of as part of the art?
I'm just not really interested in that.
You're more interested in that. Right, so you're more...
But it's definitely, it already has, it's there no matter what. You can't escape it.
Yeah, but do you want to draw attention to it as part of the cultural work?
Yeah, no.
You don't?
No.
So what is a cultural work?
I think
apart from you exploring your extraordinary vitality, and your expressiveness. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of you know, mommies are very, very, you know, love their children. And so Johnny has just, look at this, and we put, today he's created like a new drawing. Yeah.
That's what it is. I was just about to say, I want to be a children's artist.
You want to be a children's artist?
I want to be the, like, you know, the first or, like, the greatest children's artist.
You mean for children?
Yeah. I want to bring children into the gallery.
But children love art. I mean, in general.
Don't need you to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So why would you?
But I also want to expand it, like, towards them. You know, I want to make things for children. Is that?
Okay. That's a new one on me. Okay. I'm happy with it.
So is that a big goal now?
Yeah.
So if that is, I mean, is that something then, do you want to get, you know, this art into children's rooms, or?
Yeah, I've made jokes about it before where I think, like, a painting would be, like, something there, like, the, if I was to sell, like, large paintings, it would be, like, the kid telling the mom that they wanted that, you know, in a bedroom or something.
But I mean, it might be interesting.
I mean,
it's not
really something that I care about as much as just like colorful childlike imagery and painting in general. But it is something that, like, if I was to consider like my market or like my audience, mm-hmm. My audience is going to be what I'm interested in. You know, if I was really interested in painting horses, mm-hmm. part of my audience would probably be people who like horses. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really interested in children's art and childlike imagery. And children's literature, so pretty sure it would be nice to have my audience be the people who generally receive that.
Or the parents.
Yeah.
The parents.
But also, it's a way, it's like a ground. It's like Jasper John's painting the number. You know, you have to start with something. So I can get into like the other stuff that I'm interested in, the adult stuff.
So when you listen to I know you've heard Jeff Koons speak. So how do you take him?
He definitely has like the childlike like demeanor.
A demeanor,
yeah,
right?
And you where he explains, like when he talks about the puppies and the puppies.
Right. Of course, it's certainly one of his greatest works.
He's like the puppy.
You know that. So do you connect with Koons's, that Koons's, at least the claims.
Yeah.
Of the Koonsian mind.
And then the reality is that it's totally false.
Well, that's sort of the Freudian thing. I mean, there's so many different things that we can bring into this, but, you know, I mean, part of me, you know, when you're talking about this audience of the children, mm-hmm. you know, I'm wondering about the files and this thing, you know, why not work with, you know, really take that on, head on, like, you know, could these be like wallpaper patterns mm-hmm. that somebody would use in children's bedrooms? Mm-hmm. And but then on the other hand, I'm thinking about this, you know, and really there'd be nothing wrong with that. I mean, actually that could be a really interesting art project. But then also I'm thinking about, you know, this relationship of the resistance of that, which I'm kind of getting just even looking at the work a little bit. And I think that's kind of interesting. Like, you don't, like, the minute either of us would suggest something, you don't want to do that thing. But I think that's interesting because that's actually a kind of, you know, there's a sort of like Freudian psychology that that can, you know, that one can work with of that between the id and, you know, and let me stop for a second.
You're talking about the resistance.
Yeah, exactly. And to be able to have a complex subject or a complex context mm-hmm. that can explore the idea of that resistance, even the childlike versus not wanting to be pinned down. Mm-hmm. Because the childlike is actually not afraid of being pinned down at all. In fact, when Johnny draws this and somebody says, oh, wow, that's a that, Johnny's absolutely pleased that, you mm-hmm. know.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced drawing with a child and where I'm like, oh, this is this, and they're like, no. You know, a lot of times children
don't they say then, no, it's not this, it's that? Or do they say, no, it's...
They'll say, let me do it. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Hmm. And definitely, as I was saying, it's like a childlike thing for me. It's like a setting. You know, it's things that I like already, and I'm interested in being a really great painter or a really great image maker. And so it's sort of like something that I can like trap people into. It's like a mouse trap. Like I referenced Jasper John's like painting The Number, so it's like a ground that everyone can relate to. So it's like sort of like a setting, like a common aesthetic that is like already in the world. And then his argument was that he felt that if he just painted an abstract painting, thinking about the brushstrokes, that no one would look at it.
Yeah, but he never thought of himself as the child painter.
No. But he wanted to make interesting paintings, but he was afraid people wouldn't look at them if he just did like brushstrokes.
I think it's more about wanting to create a kind of skeletal structure that could hold like a kind of wide net that could actually hold the subject.
Yeah,
and also
yeah.
The idea of the shift in context. So for example, the idea of, you know, let's say working with the map, but then having the map itself, you know, the map of the United States somehow shift, or our understanding, let's say, of, you know, of an American flag, but then not having it exactly be that thing, so that there's a kind of shift in discrepancy in that.
You know what the great subject is that I sense coming from you?
Mm.
It's the great one, and it's obvious in the way that you hold yourself, the way that you look, the way that you dress. And it permeates everything.
I know
that
what you're going to say.
And it's the great, great subject, the great question about innocence.
And comedy is what I thought you were going to say.
And the comedic and tragic aspects
of
an adult coming to terms with aspects of innocence, whether one can hold on to it, mm-hmm. what creates innocence, how is innocence, how innocence becomes non-innocence, and the trajectory of.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's definitely what it is.
And it's the entire.
After you said Puer Aeternus,
I thought,
like, of course, it's like I am a Puer Aeternus, but I'm not
right.
Because I'm an adult.
That's
like,
exactly right.
But however,
and,
I still
and,
am.
Exactly
you know,
right. You're working out this conflict.
Yeah, and I think
and
that's what it's about.
And so here's my support for you. You're so aware, you're so intelligent, you're very mindful, and marvelous levels. My support for you is to find, again, the subject matter that really bears down on you. And I know that there's always going to be resistance because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's
a or at least about resistance, right? It's impossible.
To create a project of resistance.
That's right, to create a project of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the process models, one of the projects of resistance is to, as a sample, for instance, is to bear down on the consciousness, on the image of the child.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be does not need to be seen only as a self portrait or as a projection of yourself,
mm-hmm.
in other words, as a self portrait. But you're almost philosophizing on the situation of the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you take yourself into account, of course, because you're the best bearer of the message.
Yeah, and I really need to. Mm-hmm. You're right. I really need to get out there and explore like the child a lot more. And
absolutely.
that's actually what the film was about. Most of my time was thinking like, how am I gonna make a film? Because I can't sit down and write a story. I'm not really like that. So lately, I've been filming like everything every day, and I have like starting to collect all these films, like this film. So the film will have like maybe an animation with like a little thing that I make. But also, like, I filmed children the other day, like running around. So
yeah.
I think it's not gonna be like necessarily narrative. It'll be like, think of like a Sesame Street commercial, but like for 2 hours. I think that's like kind of what I'm thinking. Like Sesame Street, like the in between commercials with colors. Sometimes a little story about a dog, you know. But it's gonna be like a 2 hour like, film, and that's sort of like. And you're right. Yeah, I definitely realized that. Like, I need to like. Get out into the world.
You must
actually,
go out into the world and in a way soil yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the tarot card that I picked today. It's funny.
It's wonderful that you bring in the comedic because, of course, the comedic, we talked about the clown, the comedic is invariably, as you know, this invariably most gorgeous thing. It's one of your most sobering of images, you know, the sleep of consciousness.
It's
marvelous. So again, to bearing down on that comedic and the invocation of the comedic and the tragic, because you embody all of this, right? You embody this. I mean, and we know that, as Brian Bress said, you know, it appears to be outrageous videos, right? It appears to be traumatic only because it's so sad, right?
Because we can identify with it, or that, you know, there's something, you know, that there's a connection there. You know, something that we've always done, or, you know.
I mean, my support for you is to, as you say, go out there, and to become
to give myself.
Is to what?
Give myself.
To give yourself?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
To the world. You mean like
what, as a sacrificial victim, as a messiah, as what? What do you mean to give yourself?
More like
to open yourself up.
Yeah, interact more.
Interact more, and that's right, and take it upon yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I think you have the strength to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you feel the tendency to resist, and to shield yourself. Maybe a bit too much. You're only going to get stronger.
Yeah,
that's a Nietzschean thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's only going to make you stronger, right? Mm-hmm. And more acute about what you need to bear down on yourself, mm-hmm. with, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll make your art, capital A-R-T.
Yeah.
It'll make give a capital A, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you want, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm fully for that, because I think you have the consciousness, you have the intelligence and everything, and the skills to do that, and to move you forward. You know,
I'm for it too.
Well, that's fantastic. You're just this exquisite person. Yeah. And as I say, we really want the best for you. But I was trying to say, actually, in terms of methodologically, for you to be able to, again, to try and edit, you know, to come to some type of, if you need help, where it's available, because, you know, sometimes I'll say we're good navigators, crappy pilots. Sometimes we're good pilots and crappy navigators. And sometimes we need help on different levels. To ask for insight about, is this image?
Oh yeah, the great thing about these is I send these through email like almost every day to people. And I'm like, so what about this?
Oh, okay, good. So you're asking for advice, or asking for
advice? Yeah, usually most of my friends are like, what about this? What about this?
Good, very nice. So you're
feels a little selfish, actually.
What do you mean? What?
Well, you know, asking people what they think about
yours.
They get these big files.
What do you think about me? It's marvelous. But you're asking for. But in yourself, in doing this, are you coming to some type of potentially, at least, do you feel an awareness or an awakening that these are the types of images that hold, you know, that are more,
generally,
hold more weight, hold more water, have more psychic density than other.
This is true. Generally, I actually let other people decide more than I do.
Right.
You know, if someone says it's bad, I'll really be like, okay, maybe I won't use this one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really think about it. Like,
yeah, you're very non-attached. I mean, you have almost a Buddhistic thing. You're very non-attached on some level, which I think is marvelous. Absolutely. So I get that. On another level, sometimes I think you need to to be maybe a little more egotistical, egocentric. Mm. You say, you know, I really, you know, I'm making a statement. This
or
is,
set out what the state, what the con, you know, we're talking about this issue of the adolescence and the, you know, this adult versus child. Mm-hmm, and I think that even just designating the project in really ambitious terms.
Yeah, in ambitious terms.
See, but that's the big issue, too.
That's exactly right. This is a great
subject. I need to figure out a way to do it without...
Well, I suggest analysis.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about this analysis because you're deeply complex and complexed. Right? And you need to...
And also, like, in quality and integrity and quantity, I think, as well.
Absolutely. But you need to work these, because you're coming into yourself and you realize you have these intractable, incommensurable resistances because of the nature of your setup in the Puerera terms has these intractables, right? The thing with what happens with Puerera termi, this is not a morality tale, but an actuality. Carl Jung talks about this. If you are not going to be able to work out those intractable inconsistencies that the Puerera terms embodies, you end up, the life ends up as a disaster. You end up as a disaster. This is true, this has been borne out in every Puerera terms that's been recorded. Everyone, so you need to come down, bear down, through consciousness, to raise probably the most tension-reducing feelings about responsibility, about absolute dreadful feelings that are going to come out, and you need to bring them out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, usually from therapy, you need to. There's time, but you're going to need to bring them out rather than acting out. You need to bring them out, you're satisfying yourself. because those are vital energies. They need to
well, and the work has really true potential.
The work has true potential.
So in terms of its being able to really cut
through all of
there.
This stuff.
And right now, I think because there's a the resistance, I might say, but also a kind of unauthor, you know, like not taking ownership of the project, that it has a flexibility that might that really could be sharpened.
Yes,
so I, yeah, and I sense that there's like, you know, you can create a great image. So it's not that's not the issue.
That's not a question.
Yeah.
No, that's not a question.
Yeah. Which is definitely what I'm.
The question is, in what service will your imagery be at the cause? You see,
yeah, exactly.
In the service of all.
Right.
You need to be able to really bear down on this.
Yeah. This is
and
this
be,
is really
and be unflinchingly authentic with yourself and say, this is going to create change. Always creates, you know, the fear it's going to create chaos.
This is really good. This is what I'm learning. I mean, the last like year or two has been focused on the more technical side, and like
of course
finding the attractions and like drawing all the time.
Right.
And now it's time to like start writing songs from all this thing I've been doing, and like actually like make it about something.
About the thing that it needs to be about.
Yeah. What it is about.
That's right. Which is right.
Yeah. And this is really something I've been. Coming to terms of lately, especially with my study, like beginning to say the tarot cards.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay. I'm,
we've got to go.
Well, yeah. Also, I feel like this is a good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great, great stuff. You're always,
Thanks.
Very, very good potential. And, okay, we'll keep
okay.
In touch.
Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm.